Welcome to the Biz Times MKE podcast and another episode of the Weekly Debrief. I'm Arthur Thomas, Managing Editor at Biz Times Media, and I'm joined on the Weekly Debrief, as always, by Biz Times Editor Andrew Weiland. Andrew, how are you doing?
Yeah, just fine.
Your bracket still in good shape, or is it busted yet?
Well, Arizona going down was a problem for me. My bracket has taken some hits, but yeah. I think the key teams are still okay. I got to check out how it's going.
That's good. In our Biz Times bracket challenge, Andrew, as of Friday afternoon, is in fifth. Ugh. I'm in a tie for second. Reporter Ashley Smart is leading the way. Andrew and I both have Houston. Ashley has Marquette. We shall see over the next few weeks. Let's dive right in.
It's early.
It's early. Brackets are fun. Let's dive in, though, with our Insider Story Spotlight. That is a chance for us to highlight some of the stories that are available only to Biz Times insiders. If you are already an insider, thank you very much. We really do appreciate that support. It helps make our work possible. If you're not an insider, please do consider subscribing. The equivalent of $9 a month will get you discounted admission to some of our events, access to all of our articles on biztimes.com, and other insider benefits. So please do consider that. Andrew, what is your insider story spotlight this week?
I'm going to pick a story that's similar to another one I talked about in this space a week or two ago. It's an office deal, an office lease, and it's a small one, but it's an interesting one. There's a transportation and logistics company based in Denmark called DSV. So it's a multinational company. They have an office in our area in Franklin, and now we've discovered that there are plans in the works for them to establish an office in the city of Milwaukee at the River One development, I guess is what it's called. It's called River with the I replaced with a number one. So River Development, River One Development, whatever.
The Michaels Building.
If you go down the freeway south of downtown, you can't miss this. It's a fairly new... Well, it's an office building that Michaels Corporation built. It opened in 2001. It's an 8-story. Or 2021, correct. Sorry. Michaels built the... It opened... Okay, so they wanted to establish or consolidate their southeastern Wisconsin offices at this location. It's a very modern, glassy-looking building. They occupy the top three floors over there. But of course, like a lot of office landlords are finding, it's been difficult to attract tenants in a landscape where the office market is clearly soft. Demand is down with a lot of people working from home, working remotely or hybrid style. You've seen a lot of decline in office space demand. So they don't have any other tenants in the rest of that building. But now this company from Denmark, this DSV, is working on plans for a 5,000 square foot office space on the second floor. Again, not huge, but interesting to see that Michaels is finally getting another tenant over there. We don't have this confirmed, but it certainly appears that DSV would move the office from Franklin to this location, which would be another example of a suburban firm moving into the city. So that's interesting to see. See that happen a lot downtown, but this is in the Bayview neighborhood. But it's an interesting move, an interesting development with this project.
Yeah, absolutely. That building, timing was not on its side in terms of when it came online and when it was completed, when it came online. So there's definitely that working against it. It's interesting to drive by it. And like you said, it's glassy and modern and all of that, but downside of that glassiness is you can see kind of clearly from the interstate which floors are occupied and which ones aren't. So hopefully they're able to gain traction and fill that up over time. Yep. Here. My insider story spotlight this week focuses in on a local angle to what has been probably the biggest story in the business world nationally over the last week or so, and that is the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and a few others, and just kind of turbulence in the banking sector in some ways. So what we're interested to do is see how Wisconsin and specifically Milwaukee area banks compared to Silicon Valley Bank, which ran into some troubles because it held U.S. government securities and specifically held longer term ones that had low yields on them. And so would have been looking to sell those at a loss to maintain liquidity. And there was a run on the bank, and federal government had to come in and take a bunch of steps to kind of shore things up. And so what we did is look at how banks in our area that are Wisconsin-based and serve kind of the eight-county region we cover, how they compare. And I think it's worth noting, and I did get some feedback from readers, that this is a bit of a blunt instrument. It doesn't really account for the specific things banks hold, but, you know, which banks have their balance sheet, you know, tied up mostly in loans and leases, or which ones have the most in government securities, or who has the most cash, things like that. So we have a nice graph exploring that. We looked at the mix of loans that each of these banks have. Some are more dependent on real estate, some less so, and the mix of insured deposits, which, you know, there are probably caveats to all of these points, but so, you know, worth noting, but also worth noting just how stark the difference is between what Silicon Valley Bank looks like compared to a lot of our banks in our region, and the difference there. For one, big difference in size, but also just difference in the way they deploy their assets and or what they invest in, and the kinds of deposits they have. So it was an interesting story to put together.
Yeah, it was very, very interesting to compare Silicon Valley Bank to local banks. And, you know, like you said, there's, you know, there's details beyond those numbers and circumstances to consider, but it was interesting to see how they stack up and how their portfolios are laid out. And I think people should overall feel very good about the local banking landscape, you know, mm-hmm. when you look at it.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I said, you know, turbulence in the banking sector, I was actually just talking with an executive this afternoon from, you know, a bank in the region, and, you know, it was kind of like, it's a lot calmer than maybe media coverage might have you think. They're definitely hearing from customers, and people are curious to, like, find out, you know, okay, are we in good shape? I think we're in good shape, but are we? And so he said it's, you know, matter of education and, you know, talking to people about how they do things and stuff like that, but been fairly business as usual, at least from his perspective. So look for more coverage in the coming weeks as we unpack this more and more. Let's move on to our big story of the week, which is news that broke today, Friday, March 17th, in the long running saga of the Northridge Mall property, which closed in the early 2000s and has been having issues and has been in court most recently with the city of Milwaukee seeking to raise the building. So today there was a court hearing that was in theory supposed to kind of be about whether the city could do that or not. And kind of last minute, the owners, which is the China-based U.S. Black Spruce Enterprise Group, their attorneys came forward with they have an agreement to sell the property to Milwaukee-based real estate firm Phoenix Investors. So this kind of just popped up to the court within, you know, 24 hours before this hearing. So really throws a massive wrinkle and wrench in the proceedings. Andrew, what more should folks know about this plan?
Well, I mean, one of the big... maybe the biggest problem over there at Northridge, I mean, it's sitting there decaying for 20 years, just an albatross on that side of town, and has been a problem with, you know, vandalism and and that kind of thing. You've had fires and fire department. It's just, it's a dangerous place. You know, having this big vacant building center, it's a dangerous to the community. And the problem has been that the owner of this property is a Chinese company that, you know, has had, you know, has not been taking care of it and is, you know, very difficult for local officials to deal with since they're, you know, halfway around the world. And they keep, you know, making maneuvers to kind of cling to ownership of the property for who can really understand why, because they don't seem to have a clear plan of what to do with it. So when you hear news that there's actually a local company that is in position to acquire it, that's very encouraging. I mean, Phoenix Investors, you know, based in Milwaukee, it's an industrial real estate company. They have a large portfolio of industrial real estate properties. So that's very interesting. And the idea that they would turn that, you know, once retail shopping mall into an industrial property makes a lot of sense. So it is very encouraging to have a local company involved that the community mm-hmm. could deal with and say, okay, what's going on over there with a good track record. Now, the concern I have is, you know, the concern I have is that one thing that came up in court is that Phoenix Investors is seeking to have, you know, the push for the raise order dropped. And they're saying that they would like to actually take the North Ridge Mall structure and, you know, presumably rebuild that for its use, for its industrial use. You know, and that makes some sense. I think there's a lot of cost savings there in doing that. And you see buildings that are gutted out into their bones and turned into, you know, reused buildings. You certainly see that all the time. But this is a province in very bad shape. And like I said, it's been a major public nuisance and it's been lingering there for 20 years. So if you could see a sale go through and you could see, you know, pretty much immediate action to start redeveloping it, that would be great. But if this thing just continues to linger, that's really going to be a problem. So I think the idea that, well, they're not going to tear it down, which the city has badly wanted for good reason for some time, a little bit concerned that they don't want to tear it down. They wish they would tear it down, but you can understand that they may see, you know, an opportunity there to repurpose the structure as bad of shape as it's in, but you just want to see it. You really want to see it move forward expeditiously mm-hmm. after all this time.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's an argument, you know, to at least not want a raise order on it and have the city coming in and demolishing it. If you're going to buy it, do you want to at least have a chance to really get in there, understand what you're dealing with structurally, figure out if you can salvage all parts of it, you know, rebuild, things like that. Whereas if you have the city has a raise order and the city comes in with a wrecking ball and it's leveled, then you're, you know, you've lost that opportunity to do that. You'd have to think after this amount of time and that it would just make more sense to start fresh. But, you know, I do words for a living, not industrial buildings. So, what do I know? But you know, like I said, I would think you'd want to start fresh, but if they can salvage it, you know, so be it, but hopefully, yeah, it moves forward. Interestingly, Phoenix, you know, the company that was behind converting the former JCPenney warehouse along I-41 in Wauwatosa, I think it's on Burleigh and at 41 there, they converted that into an Amazon warehouse. Now, that's a, you know, a more direct, went from distribution center to a distribution center, but certainly a lot of work went into that. So, and like you said, big portfolio of things they're invested in around the city and around the country. So, and even just the idea of having someone local, for the city to, you know, go knock on their door and say, hey, what's going on? Whereas in this case, you know, folks from Black Spruce haven't been in court. Their attorneys are, but, there was a court order for them to be there and they're not there. So that's another component here.
Like I said before, that's absolutely huge. They've been completely absentee, and the city officials are pulling their hair out to figure out how to deal with this property and deal with these guys. So yeah, I do think it's a very exciting opportunity to have a local company with a strong track record that knows what it's doing, to come in there and hopefully redevelop it and really turn that into, a worthwhile, useful, productive property again would be huge for the city. So I just think, like I said, the Rays, the issue of trying to make use of the dilapidated structure is an interesting approach, but I think the biggest thing you want to see is progress there, because we it's been a 20-year wait for this, and that's way too long, and it's been a big problem in that neighborhood. So if this puts the ball in the hands of a company that's ready to move forward and make it happen over there, and then that would be great. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in court, in the coming weeks and months, but it's very interesting and potentially a very exciting twist in the story here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, before, this potential sale popped up, I think my mindset was that, the city should kind of take a position that we're just moving ahead. And if it turns out, the city owes Black Spruce some money for damages for having taken proper, whatever, that city leaders should almost be encouraged to just, okay, maybe it costs more than it should, but just get something done. And instead of, I mean, I think I've been on this podcast before, saying that things move slowly for a reason, that the justice system, that the legal system moves slowly for a reason. But, the city needs to just push ahead. But good news, there's a potential sale agreement in place and another hearing set for April 14th. So about a month from now, we may have our next turn of the screw in what is happening with the Northridge Mall property. Until then, that'll do it for the Biz Times MK podcast and the weekly debrief. Thanks as always for joining me, Andrew.
You bet.
This is Dan Meyer with Biz Times Media. You've been listening to the Biz Times MKE podcast. For more business news and insights, be sure to go to biztimes.com and subscribe to any of our daily e-newsletters and our magazine, Biz Times Milwaukee.